You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
23 years ago today. Man. May God bless all of them. All of them.
Including the updated number of firefighters who have lost their lives due to 9/11 illnesses. That number, by the way, has now surpassed those who lost their lives on that day.
You know, I was watching the coverage again this morning, and obviously it's 23 years old, and you forget when the first tower collapsed, people were running for their lives, and just the smoke and the ash as it, I mean, would find its way through every crevice and every alley of downtown Manhattan. And these you could hear these people screaming, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And I was...
Remember the woman, I think she was an African-American woman, I don't, you couldn't tell, covered head to toe in that white ash and, debris. I looked her up the other day. I don't know why there was a story about her. I saw something on Facebook. She did end up losing her life, and I think it was cancer or something several years ago.
Because of 9/11?
You look at that debris cloud that day and all of the toxins that were inhaled with it, and certainly anyone down working in that pit for any amount of time. And how could it not be a contributing factor, if not the cause?
What I never could figure out was, as all of these people are running for their lives down these streets of downtown Manhattan, why not run into a store, jump into a car?
Some anything. Did, but I think the debris, if you go back and look in that immediate blast zone, was probably blocking the way.
And if anybody was thinking about it, they just want to get away from
as far and as fast as you can.
Yes. Yeah. Instead of staying in it in a store or
23 car. Years.
Yeah.
You said this morning, and this is heartbreaking, that there were grandchildren of some of those we lost reading the names today during that ceremony. Those grandchildren who never met.
Yeah, there was a young girl, I said this last hour, but it bears repeating. She was probably 11 or 12 years old this morning, and she is reading like three or four names, and then she says, and for my grandfather, you know, and his name, who I and my three sisters never got to meet. We miss you and we love you. And here I am sitting in my bedroom, just, I mean, Niagara Falls coming out of my face.
Yep.
You know, it's just so sad. So let this day not be forgotten.
And if your children ask you, why are the flags at half staff?
It's 9/11.
Remind them. Remind them.
We're a whole generation away from it now.
Yep.
And it's crazy to think about it in that way. All right, let's move on to something light. The first sign of the apocalypse occurred this morning.
Okay.
That's lighter.
Wow. Really?
Dana was seen in a Hobby Lobby.
Oh.
It was brief.
Are we into crafting now?
No, we are not, Dan.
Are we into Jesus now?
No, we are not. Have you ever seen the man around Holiday
are
Mart
we
every
into
year?
Jesus?
Have you ever seen the men?
Say?
There's always one or two men at Holiday Mart in Overland Park every year.
Yes, they're dragged there by their wives.
36,000 women, and there's always these two men.
And me selling dip.
Yep, and I want to say to those men every year, what did you do that you are here?
Or they're earning points.
I looked more uncomfortable in Hobby Lobby today than those two poor men roaming around lost at Holiday Mart every year.
It's easy to walk around on a Thursday if you think you might get some on a Saturday.
Is that what it is?
If you know what I mean.
The lone dude at Holiday Mart that isn't Sam Stevie.
He's banking on it. He's like,
Have you ever been trying to find something and you didn't know what it was, but you knew what it was and you knew it existed, but you didn't know what it was?
Yes, honey, I'd love to carry that for the next 4.5 hours while you're shopping.
That's what I was doing this morning. You know where you need that thing, but you don't know what it is called or where to find it. But you know what it is.
And you went to Hobby Lobby for that?
Yes.
Huh.
What was it?
Well, it's easier to describe than it is to... It doesn't have a name.
Did you find it?
No.
Oh.
No, I did not.
You went looking for it.
I went looking for it.
Because you knew that's where you would find it.
I thought if anyone had
it, didn't find
has it, it's going to be that.
It most certainly has a name.
What's it called? Did you find the name of it?
Yeah. It's literally called a cinch.
Here it is.
Wait, is this clean?
Yes, she claims it is.
100% clean. And this is why I love our listeners, because out of everybody that I called, that I asked, that I talked to, it was our listeners that were like, here it is. I'm in the button aisle. No. 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 I knew it would be in that aisle. We've all done it.
Why are we whispering?
Because I was in Hobby Lobby. I don't know.
She was ashamed.
Praying or something. I don't know.
Because she was in Hobby Lobby.
But this was a craft store.
I didn't know people were praying or something.
Not a clothing fabric store.
Help me. I'm in Hobby Lobby. I might as well be in a gun store.
Oh, God.
I need that thing that goes on the back of your dress when your dress needs to be cinched. It's like a thing. You know what I'm talking about.
It's called a cinch.
It's,
crazy.
It's got two little pinchers on it, and then there's like
a cinch. There's
like a tension piece in the middle of it, and it cinches something when it's too,
So everyone online like was very cinch. Helpful, by the way.
For the love of Christ.
Speaking of Christ, their Christmas things are already out, and someone should be arrested for that.
Where did you have lunch? Chick-fil-A?
I didn't have time.
Did you head over to Home Depot?
Excuse
Maybe
me.
Get a ladder?
What?
Stop by the family bookstore.
Please tell me what aisle I can find this
down
sign
in Olathe,
that says,
where they only sell Bibles.
Live, laugh, love, Jesus. What aisle is that in?
It's in 13.
Got it.
You know,
our listeners came through big time. They
bless
were like,
this house.
This is where.
Bless this.
Grateful, thankful, blessed.
Wipe your feet.
Wipe your feet.
In this home, we serve the Lord, and we do not sell those things that cinch your dress. The listeners came through. They were like, here's the deal.
As for me in this house, we will love the Lord.
It is on Amazon. That does not help me tonight because it's a cute little dress, and I wanted to wear it to dinner tonight. And then someone said, Dana, babe, Joann Fabrics, I got you. I even called. A friend of mine said, I saw your post on Facebook. I even called Joann Fabric. So, look, the only other place I could have gone today, like, I went to Hobby Lobby and Joann. If you were looking at me on Life 360, you would have thought I had been kidnapped. My children would have been genuinely fearful for what had happened to me.
How did you not burst into flames when you walked into Hobby Lobby?
And Joann Fabrics. I truly think if my children had looked at Life 360, they would have been like, call 911. Call 911.
Where did you find it? At Joann's?
Joann Fabrics had it.
All right. Why don't you buy a smaller dress?
Because I lost a lot of weight. Thank you, Dr. Tag, and the Center for Nutrition.
This is an older dress that you want to wear.
Well, it didn't.
Not
yeah.
That old.
It, yeah, about
older,
a year old.
I said older.
Yeah.
Careful.
I am.
And so instead of just wearing something else, as women are prone to do, which I was like, I'm going to go on a 2-hour manhunt for
that this outfit
thing.
You could have gone to my desk drawer. I've got plenty of binder clips you could have used.
Why couldn't you use one of those? Yeah, like a little, the little black things with the...
Yeah, the whole, all the documents.
The wings on it.
Yeah,
did you
like
see on
toys,
Facebook the other day,
toys.
It said, if you were kidnapped... And the kid, this was on Facebook truly, and it said, and the kidnapper said you can post one thing on Facebook, and you knew that was your way to communicate with people, Scott. What is the one thing that you could post that immediately everyone would know you were in danger? And for Dana, it would be the trifecta of I went to Joann, I went to Hobby Lobby.
Oh, like, oh, I see what you're saying.
I'm heading to the gun show. People would be like, okay, blink twice. Do you need help?
Like, what could I put on Facebook that my family would be like, this is not okay?
In code, there is something wrong with Scott.
I'm going on a date with Dana tonight.
Or, I never really liked Kiss.
Right.
Yes.
Thin Lizzy sucks.
Right.
Here's
soccer
one.
Is boring.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wearing underwear.
Okay.
Signed, Scott Parks.
This is 2 days
Just
in
call
a row.
911. Just call 911. Something has happened to him.
I never lived in Germany.
Well, we have good news.
We are so excited.
One of our favorite bands, the Post-Sex Nachos, we talked to them, was it earlier this week or late last?
I believe it was last Friday.
Yeah, I think it was Friday. They had their trailer stolen with all of their equipment in it. and they were on their way from Wichita. It was stolen in Wichita. They were on their way to Colorado.
Yep.
But when they were staying the night in a hotel in Wichita, somebody came by, detached the trailer, and took off with all their equipment.
Ne'er-do-wells.
Their drums, their guitars, their
everything.
Merch, money. Most of it has been recovered.
From the Wichita Police Department, Wichita Police recover stolen trailer and $21,763 in band equipment. The Wichita Police Department successfully recovered a stolen U-Haul trailer containing approximately $21,000 worth of band equipment after an incident reported at Spring Hill Suites on North Greenwich Road. It was on Friday, last Friday, 10:12 a.m. that they got there, and officers say they were, you know, contacted by a band member that they had come out. Everything mm-hmm. was gone. Mm-hmm. Later, while investigating an unrelated stolen vehicle report involving a Ford F-250, officers located a stolen U-Haul box truck bearing a Kansas tag. Upon further investigation, it was determined that that was the same U-Haul, yada, yada, yada. And inside, they had all of
almost
the
all.
Band stuff, yep. like the musical stuff.
The only thing they're missing is a keyboard. That was not in the trailer.
Yep.
$1,300 in cash and their t-shirts.
Their merch.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be pretty hard to sell post-sex nachos
the
merch without it being obvious that
their merch.
It's mm-hmm. stolen merch. The boys took to Facebook and thanked everybody for their love, or Instagram, and thanked everybody for their love nice. And support and the donations, and also set up a Gmail if you donated and want your money back.
Because people donated to them and said, because we love them so much and because everyone loves them so much. Like, oh my God, I love a song.
Is this when they played on our show?
This is the acoustic version in the studio.
In this studio. Get it tattooed on my face
just to prove I'm unpredictable. That's the banana maraca. Such a messed up world. Gets up when I'm so cold.
You know, as a 53-year-old man,
you got to add that to our Spotify list or whatever it's called, Sam.
To hear 23-year-old guys complaining about growing old, suck it.
They are so cute. Don't you dare say that. I love those boys. I'm like the mother
too.
They never wanted.
I do too. And that is a great song. How that, you know, here's my guess. When they really make it big, I'm being serious. When they really make it big, they will re-release that song, and it will chart.
They need to re-release the acoustic version with the maraca banana in our studio.
From the Dana and Park Show?
They're not getting that maraca banana back. It brings me so much joy.
Story here from Forbes. James Earl Jones, who died Monday, sadly, at the age of 93. By the way, if you have not seen the picture of the Empire State Building Monday night, Google it.
Yeah.
It's awesome. He signed away the rights to his voice to Lucasfilm via AI.
Oh.
So, you know, he's been any movie that Darth Vader has appeared in, which is almost all 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah.
Sure.
All those Star Wars and Rogue One, he has done the voice for Darth Vader.
Sure.
So in the future, because there's already talk of doing 10, 11, 12.
So he has signed off prior to his death, obviously, and said, it's
rights.
Okay that you mm-hmm. continue to use my voice.
Yes, and through AI. And now whether, you know, his family gets some residual, I hope they do.
Sam, can you pull up, the memes are everywhere and the videos are everywhere of all of his work over the years. I mean, he,
Mufasa,
the credits to his name, my gosh.
Field of Dreams.
Let me tell you what gave me chills. The obviously his work in Field of Dreams. I mean, just, I mean,
brilliant.
Wow, is brilliant.
Yes.
But Sam, look up his spoken national anthem during either the championship game or the run-up to the championship World Series game. He does a spoken national anthem with a choir behind him, and the choir is just sort of humming the tune of the national anthem while he says, "Oh, say."
Early light, but so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming.
whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rockets' red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
And I would fall asleep like a baby.
Sesame Street posted because he did A, B, C.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, he was just beautiful. What a beautiful human being. And what gifts,
a great voice.
What gifts he left us.
Yes. We were talking earlier, what could you text your kids that would tell them that you're in trouble? And some of mine were like, Thin Lizzy sucks, or soccer's boring. Right.
I'm wearing underwear.
I've never been to Germany. somebody wrote in one for you, Dana, that you could text to your kids.
What?
That would say that you're in danger. My house sold.
Not funny.
Funny, but not funny.
You know, I did go by today. I went by today.
Got more than asking price.
Wow. This market is hot.
Does it echo in there?
Yes, Sam, it does. I went by today and I flushed the toilets.
Good.
Why?
Because otherwise the water evaporates.
Yeah,
and then
it
you
just
get
starts
a horrible
sitting there.
Smell.
Yeah. I thought, you know what? I'm going to go by, check the mail, flush the toilets.
Really, Texter? Somebody writes, Scott could write, my nose has always been attached to my face.
Wow.
Wow. Anyway, so you went by the house, you flushed the toilets.
I did. Said hi to the old place.
Yeah.
Still there. Hasn't
Hello.
Moved.
Hello.
Hello. Sell. Sell. Sell.
And you hear it coming back at you. No. No.
Not
no.
a chance. Not a chance. 913.
Interest rates are going down. Let's get those phones ringing.
The house just respond to me?
586-7798. Story here from the New York Post. God save the queen from bad art.
Ew!
A new statue of Queen Elizabeth II has sparked a royal uproar among locals and elected officials in Northern Ireland who say the artwork is a monstrosity. Disrespectful. Looks nothing like Her Majesty.
It was nothing short of a swing and a miss.
Here's one quote. We have to be honest. It does not resemble the queen in any shape or form.
It doesn't even really represent a natural-looking human being.
Well, wait a minute. Let me read you the the headline from The Guardian.
God.
Statue of Queen derided is looking more like Mrs. Doubtfire. She does have the kerchief. You know, the queen, when she would go out.
Now, she's wearing a headscarf.
She is. When she would go out, like, playing polo or hunting, you know, she was a hunter, or horse riding, she would wear that scarf, you know, and tie it under her chin the way your grandmas did. She does. The statue does have that, but outside of that, I don't.
It doesn't have a normal human stance.
Well,
said Richard
she's
Morris.
She's wearing her riding her mud boots. You know, she always wore those, what do you call them, muddies or whatever. And then her corgis are, there's two statues of corgis at her feet. So that's queenish.
The corgis actually look like corgis. They, yeah. They got those right.
So Richard Morris, who is an art historian and critic, told the Times of London, I was rather confused who it actually was. If there wasn't the caption underneath, it would have taken me about 5 minutes to work it out. A gigantic garden gnome would have been better and looked more like her. Wow.
comments have been turned off on Facebook.
I don't know who they hired to do this bronze sculpture, but I would go ahead
The artist, by the way, was Anto Brennan.
Okay, yeah, let's Philip scratch like him Philip. From the list of would, any future...
Sam, Philip looks like Philip. And the Corgis look like Corgi. I thought Prince Philip looked like Prince Philip standing next to her. And
sort
I think
of, kinda.
Yeah, if you squint from a distance.
And yes, the Corgis look like dogs.
Okay, my favorite story of the day. Speaking of 84-year-old women. 84-year-old woman says she punched an alligator in the face to save her dog.
It was like a torpedo. I have never seen anything move that fast in all my life. I didn't have time to think.
Del Bapple's evening dog walk Thursday was the scariest she's had.
All of a sudden, I had a premonition. I'm telling you, it was like, uh-oh.
That gut feeling was a 7-foot gator about to lunge right at her.
That alligator took off like 35 miles an hour, and I'm not joking.
Bapple says she got close to the pond at Julia Mobile Home Park off Slater Road. She saw gator's eyes looking back at her. Before she could think of anything else, she tossed her small shih tzu named Queen up in the air. Then the gator chomped.
She took a chunk out of me.
After a few good hits, that gator did scurry away, but not until it took a chunk out of her leg and fingers.
So who would you say first, if it was the kid or the gator? Who are you?
Probably the dog.
Bapple says she's complained about the big gators to her community. They have not reached out to her and also have not returned my calls.
Okay. She's missing a couple of fingers, and she's pointing in this. Have you seen her photo, Sam? You don't mess around with this woman.
So did the alligator take off the fingers, or are they just bitten?
It does look like she's down off a couple of digits. She's pointing at, so her pointer finger is still okay.
Yes.
She's pointing at the reporter in this still photo, but her, what looks like her ring finger and possibly her pinky might have.
No, the fingers are still definitely there. They're just currently heavily bandaged. So I think what happened was she took a right hook at this thing, multiple right hooks, to get it to run away, and that's when it decided that it was going to have a snack out of the side of her leg, and she tried to fight the gator off some more, and her
Sweet
fingers
Del.
Got hurt
Sweet
in the process.
Del Hipple, what are you, you know, if you're her kids, you're like, what in the Sam Hill are you doing?
Oh, she's a bad A for sure.
Man, I'm sorry, unless it's Stella, that alligator can have my dog. I'm not getting into a fight with an alligator.
This was her Stella.
This was her Stella.
We don't know that.
And the dog's name, by the way, was Queen.
What?
The dog's name is Queen, as in Queen Elizabeth.
Okay.
Did it look like
No,
her?
Not at all.
No, okay. Just like the statue. Didn't look anything like her.
Nice.
Do you remember the Cristiano Ronaldo statue or the bust?
The Guardian story talks about that.
From years ago?
Like, was this maybe
last
the same
year.
Artist?
No, it wasn't last year. It
Christian?
Was a couple years ago. Story here from CBS News. $1 million is not what it used to be. Just ask American millionaires, a number of whom say they don't even consider themselves wealthy.
What do you mean millionaire? Like you have a house that's worth...
You have, you have $1 million of investable income.
And they don't consider themselves wealthy.
That is correct.
Well, I'll tell you this. You know this. $1 million is really not enough to retire on anymore if you are just relying on the $1 million you have saved and you're 65 and you want to live to 90.
No, that's true. But you remember when we were kids, if you had $1 million...
Oh, you were a millionaire.
You were rich. You were rich. It says here, to be sure, how far $1 million takes you can depend on a number of factors, including where you live, whether or not you support dependents. But the rest is subjective. Only 1/3 of American millionaires, or those with at least $1 million in investable assets, consider themselves wealthy, according to a new study. While 2/3 of millionaires might not feel rich, their substantial financial assets do afford them a greater sense of financial clarity. Huh.
I mean, having $1 million is basically just upper middle class now.
I wonder how many millionaires there are in the United States.
That also depends on how you define millionaire. Like, to me, to be a millionaire, you have to have multiple millions in the bank. That, to me, is millionaire.
We're not counting your house.
No. You start talking house and investments.
25.5 million millionaires.
Yeah, but what does millionaire mean?
Yeah, but back to Dana's point, what does that mean? Do you have $1 million in the bank, or do you have $1 million if you count your house, your investments, your 401k.
Based on the annual assessment of wealth and assets.
That would mean your house, your 401k, if you have some mutual funds or whatever, and what you have in the bank. Cut it out, texters. Cut it out. They said one thing I could send to the kids that would say I'm in trouble is I'm engaged.
Sam.
Sorry, I read it first. I shouldn't have laughed. Sam, I said it.
It's not even that. It's three words that are way more simple than that. She said yes. To what?
Okay. After 155 years, Campbell's Soup Company is changing its name. They plan to drop the word soup from their corporate name, rebranding it just the Campbell's Company. So what?
That's a big nothing burger. Sorry, I didn't read the story. I wouldn't have even put it in the stack.
It's going to go from what to what?
Campbell's to Campbell's.
Campbell's Soup is going to become Campbell's Company.
Okay.
And they're saying it's because they own more than soup now. They own the Goldfish brand, Snyder's of
Otherwise
Hanover.
Otherwise known as Goldfish.
Pepperidge Farm. Okay. Sam, did you put this one in the stack?
I regret it.
Did I ever tell you about the time my son, my God, that sweet baby, the little one, they were all told they had to label their snacks. We had to label our snacks.
And where, at school?
You know, Dana. I mean, I didn't own a bedazzler and probably couldn't find a Sharpie. And so we have this photo of this little Ziploc bag filled with Goldfish. And he just writes on it. He had to have been in kindergarten. And it's misspelled, like, these are Goldfish. Because of the whole peanut allergy thing, you had to write on the outside of the bag, even though it was a clear, see-through bag. They were told, you know, my children are rule followers, you have to write down what your snack is.
And that snack is actually called
Goldfish. Remember, every once in a while it pops up in my Facebook memories. In case there was any confusion, the snack inside this clear Ziploc bag is in fact a Goldfish.
I thank God every day that I went to school in the 70s and 80s.
And or that you do not have a child with a
fair
debilitating
point.
Allergy.
And I'm not mocking them.
I've got one with some hay fever, and that's about it.
We were having a meeting in the back office a couple weeks ago, and Sam came in with, by the way, the most repugnant smelling peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Oh, I put a lot of peanut butter on there.
Oh, my word. And Sam just says, there were like 13 of us in the back office. He says, does anybody have a peanut allergy?
Oh, that was nice, Samuel.
And that's a hangover from being in grade school and them saying, I got in trouble for eating a PB&J in class because they were like, what if somebody has an allergy?
They used to sell Uncrustables in the lunchroom where we were told we could. And I always thought, like, look, I know that teachers have a lot going on and I'm not going to be the one that complains. I was never in that principal's office. Ask anybody. However, the peanut allergy thing, when you are selling the Uncrustables in the lunchroom, I did not ever understand how they squared that.
When I got in trouble for eating a PB&J in class, the teacher did not appreciate it when I said out loud, is anybody in here allergic to peanut butter? And they all said no. She was not a fan of that.
Did you ever get sent to the principal's office?
Please.
Of course not.
No.
We were on a first name basis.
And it wasn't your dad?
Me too.
Really? Did you ever get paddled?
Yes.
Oh.
I never once got in trouble, but I went down to see him a lot because the teachers didn't like me.
We called it swatting, and I got swatted. Yeah.
All right.
You want to know
this
why?
This is so embarrassing, but I will tell you, I did get reprimanded once in seventh grade.
Oh, my gosh. Did somebody say harsh words to you?
Yes, and I cried.
You didn't cry the way I did when Mrs. Wilkinson put that wooden paddle on my butt. Oh,
to this day, this makes me so mad, but he has long passed away. He was 120 when he was our vice principal in eighth grade. It was eighth grade, not seventh grade.
Did he say he wasn't proud of you?
No, at the end of a school function, a boy asked if he could kiss me, and I was so embarrassed. I had never kissed a boy, and I was like, okay, fine. And right as the kid leaned in to kiss me, the Mr. Grumpy Pants.
What grade were you in?
Eighth. Walked by and goes, Dana, can I see you for a moment?
Had you never been kissed before?
No, that was my first experience in that realm of things in middle school.
What was his name?
It was great.
They called my grandfather because he was friends with my grandfather, who used to be a guy that worked for the schools. And they had to come and get me from the game. They kicked me out.
But you didn't kiss the guy.
Well, I was definitely leaning in, and I will
was
never.
He leaning in?
This is what makes me so mad. I will never.
Who is the instigator of the kiss?
Wasn't Dana. I was terrified. I was like, oh God, here it comes. I don't think. Ah! Anyway, oh, this makes me so mad to this day. The vice principal says to me as I'm sitting in timeout waiting for my grandfather to come get me, you know, that's how young girls get into trouble. I didn't even know what that meant.
What was this boy? Did you ever kiss this boy?
No. No,
you never kissed
I don't think I ever kissed anyone then for another 9 years because I was so mortified
when
by the whole
experience.
When
was your first kiss?
Starlight Skate Center. It would have been ninth grade.
Mine was in ninth grade.
It scarred me for life. It was during the slow skate.
Mine was in a in a country I'm not allowed to talk about.
In a
castle. And the girl lives in Lawrence. Terry Ferguson.
Way to out her. Sorry, Terry.
Sorry, Terry.
Was the first girl that I ever kissed. We went to homecoming.
Is there anything more disgusting than the seventh or eighth grade? Like, slowly. That's just so gross.
Listen, there's nothing more disgusting than a ninth grade Scott Parks who's never kissed a girl before.
Did and you have a mullet?
Of course. And doesn't know how to do it.
Nom, 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 nom.
No!
Okay.
I'm gonna need therapy.
Oh, my word. So there is a fight a-brewing in Paris over whether or not to keep the Olympic rings on the Eiffel Tower. Story here from NBC News. There are few sites more iconic than the Eiffel Tower and the Olympic rings. But not everyone agrees they belong together. Least of all, the family of the man who designed the Eiffel Tower, which is now at the center of a high-profile fight over its future. The multicolored logo adorned the Eiffel Tower during the Paris 2024 Games, just as they hung from London's Tower Bridge in 2012 and the Sydney Harbor Bridge in 2000. Paris Mayor Anne Hidalgo revealed last week that she plans to keep the rings there indefinitely, reflecting the extent to which this famous city was swept up with Olympic fanfare. The proposal has sparked outrage, with political opponents accusing Hidalgo of trying to cash in on the event's success ahead of a re-election bid, and heritage campaigners saying that she is risking besmirching a piece of the city's architectural history.
I can see that.
Now they have been joined by the family of Gustav Eiffel.
Eiffel? You knew it was Gustav Eiffel?
The engineer who designed the tower in 1889.
Designed it for the World's Fair that was held there, and they loved it so much they decided to keep it.
Yeah, it was only supposed to be temporary. A lot of people don't know that. The Eiffel Tower was not meant to be a permanent fixture in the city of Paris.
Do you know what else the architecture designed? The architect designed?
Would it be the Statue of Liberty?
The metallic structure on the inside of the Statue of Liberty holding up the casing.
Huh. Hey, Sam.
Yes?
Did you hear about the pirate that walked into a bar wearing a paper towel hat?
Oh, God.
No.
He said, "Arr, there be a bounty on me head."
Did we go back to yesterday?
She'll be back tomorrow.
A listener just said,
make sure to tip your waiter.
Have the veal. It's very delicious.
Arr, there be a bounty
no,
on me head.
No. No. We got it the first time.
Thought maybe you didn't get it. I thought it was funny. Maybe I need to emphasize the R.
No. 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 The maker of John Deere tractors has agreed to pay a $10 million penalty to the U.S. government to settle charges that it lavished Thai government officials with extravagant trips and visits to massage parlors. Mm-hmm. Bribes that netted its subsidiary more than $4 million in profit. What kind of massage parlor are we going to, I wonder? Oh, this is Boston. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.